Hare Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavyam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So now, starting with the spirit. Page 3. The spirit of Bhagavad Gita is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita itself. It is just like this. So now he's saying it, the spirit is mentioned, and now he's giving an example of how to use, means how to approach that spirit, how to understand the spirit, right? Because you're saying, the spirit is like this, and then you want to give a background so that you properly understand it and approach it, right? If we want to take a particular medicine, then we have to follow the directions written on the label. We cannot take the medicine according to our own whim or the direction of a friend. It must be taken according to the directions on the label and the directions given by the physician. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita should be taken or accepted as it is, directed by the speaker himself. The speaker of Bhagavad Gita is Lord Sri Krishna. He is mentioned on every page of Bhagavad Gita as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. Right? So that's the first thing we're establishing is in the spirit is that Krishna is Bhagavan. Right? The spirit means the mood by which it should be understood. So the first thing is it has to be taken that Krishna is God. That has to be the first thing. You know, and God here meaning Bhagavan. Of course, the word Bhagavan sometimes refers to any powerful person or any powerful demigod. And certainly here, Bhagavan designates Lord Sri Krishna as a great personality. But at the same time, we must know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as is confirmed by all great acharyas, spiritual masters, like Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarka Swami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and many other authorities of Vedic knowledge in India. The Lord himself also establish himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Bhagavad Gita and is accepted as such in the Brahma Samhita and all the Puranas, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, known as the Bhagavat Purana, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. Therefore, we should take Bhagavad Gita as it is directed by the Personality of Godhead himself. So now he's saying, therefore, because he is the Supreme Lord, and he is the speaker, so therefore, as he speaks, it is how we should take it. We don't make any other interpretation. Right? You know, probably gave you an example of Dr. Radha Krishna, and then he's taking it. When Krishna is speaking, he says, you must surrender unto me. Then he says, well, that's not actually that form that you're seeing as Krishna, but it's the unborn, eternal within Krishna, that is speaking through Krishna, right? So, one is how would one come up with this idea anyway? If you're actually a bona fide impersonalist, how could you actually come up with this idea? Because, first of all, is if Brahman is all one with formless with no qualities, how would the formless now be talking? Especially since you can't describe the formless with words, how is it now the formless is using words? Right? Very important. And if everything is Brahman, then that form of Krishna that is talking is also Brahman, and what words he's speaking is Brahman, so what's the problem? Right? So it's just that they have, you know, a bias against form. That's all. Somehow or another in their intelligence, they've decided, well, this form here, so therefore, spiritual is opposite than material, so therefore there must be no form. Right? So this is a problem. So that kind of logic then ends them up, you know, in their Mayavadi camp, because actual Brahmavadis don't have problem with form, because it's Brahman also. But the Mayavadis do. So you can see is that they're, how you say, even though they claim as Parinamavad that it's transformation, but technically speaking, within that, they only believe in, actually, they don't believe in Vivartavad. I mean, they only believe in Vivartavad. But they work within that other group. Okay. So they're saying it's an illusion that you think it's here anyway. It's not actually here. You just think it's an illusion. But the interesting thing is then how is it that something has the power over Brahman? So in other words, there's no difference in their philosophy and that of, you know, the Christians saying the Satan is running things. Right, it's God's kingdom, but somehow or another Satan can impudently run however he likes. So what's the difference? There is no difference in that. So we can understand definitely we're dealing with mundane logic here. And the interesting thing is the Mayavadis will say the Lord has no form, and the Judeo-Christian will also say the Lord has no form. So very similar philosophy. Just one has a sentiment towards the Lord, one doesn't. Many of the Mayavadis, they have no problem that you worship deities in the beginning, because it focuses you, gets your sentiment going in the right direction. But ultimately, that'll all be dropped. You know? So, and then it seems the similar way is that the modern religions, they are worshiping the Lord, saying that he's a person and this and that, but ultimately, if you ask, then he's not a person. It's a very similar kind of thing. So now one can understand, even though one thinks one's come from a monotheistic background, why Prabhupada is out to get rid of, the Mayavad and the voidism, right? Does that make sense? Like that. So here is that, then he, as a person, he is the authority, so therefore as he speaks it, that should be accepted, right? So that's the first aspect of the spirit. Then in the fourth chapter of the Gita, 4:1-3, the Lord says, Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam vivasvan manyave praha manor ikshvakave pravita evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu sakalena mahata sakaleneha mahata yoga nashta panantapa sa evayam maya tejya yogav proktav param puratana bhaktosime shakacheti rahasyam hyetarutamam. Here the Lord informs Arjuna that this system of yoga, the Bhagavad Gita, was first spoken to the sun god, and the sun god explained it to Manu, and Manu explained it to Ikshvaku, and in that way the disciplic succession, one speaker after another. This yoga system, what has been coming down, but in the course of time, it has become lost. Consequently, the Lord has to speak the very same old yoga system again, this time to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Okay. So this is now we're ending this section in the spirit of Krishna, about Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So that means that he is speaking it. He is God. He is therefore the authority. And as he speaks it is how we take it. And this was spoken before, and it was working before. In time, it has got lost. It must be passed down in the parampara. This is the method. And it has been lost. So now again, this same old yoga system. Prabhupada says the very same old yoga system. Not something different. The very same one is being spoken again. Now, here is that body of knowledge, it's known as Bhagavad Gita. Nanda Baba is talking about it before Krishna is a child. So this is, could easily be 120 years before it is spoken. Right? So, therefore, the Bhagavad Gita was a standard body of knowledge that was given to the sun god and passed down that everybody knew about. just that now it has to be re-spoken again. And this time, different from when it was spoken to Ikshvaku, is that it would be, not Ikshvaku, the sun god, is that it will be written. Right? You know, so therefore on the let it be written, let it be done principle, then it is written down so that now we can take advantage. Because otherwise, if in those days where everybody hears something and remembers it completely and it gets lost, let alone now where we can't even remember, you know, what we did yesterday or this morning, you know, like that. So, like that. Okay? So this ends the spirit. In other words, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He's the authority. As he speaks it, that is to be accepted. And what he is speaking, that has eternally been the truth. So it's not just today. No, it's otherwise we might say, okay, well, that's 5,000 years ago. But he's giving an example. No, this was spoken millions of years ago, the same thing. And it's still relevant. So what's the big deal about 5,000 years? You know, we shouldn't be getting too disturbed about that. He tells Arjuna that he is relating the supreme secret to him. This is the second point now. Because Arjuna is his devotee and friend. Right? Therefore, it is possible for you only to understand. Right? So, because Arjuna is his friend, therefore only he can understand. Right? Does that make sense?
Is this within the spirit section?
No. It's within the spirit. Spirit has four parts. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. The second one is Gita is understood by a devotee like Arjuna, who is in a direct relationship with Krishna. So now we're starting on the second part. Third, only the process of devotional service can revive one's relationship with Krishna. And fourth, therefore, Bhagavad Gita should be taken up in a spirit of devotion. Right? Because you're establishing him as God, we as a devotee. Only by someone in that relationship can you understand. And therefore, that's the mood that you should approach Gita. In other words, Krishna's God, we're his servant. And therefore, only through that service can we understood. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita should be taken up in that spirit of devotion. Right? So that is the spirit. Yes?
I was wondering how the knowledge could get lost over time if you have the parampara.
You have parampara, but it's like you have the element, how many people care? That's the point. So you have to remember is that as it comes down, it's spoken millions of years before. So that could be at the beginning of the Dwapara Yuga or even the Treta or something, whenever it was. It depends upon, he doesn't say specifically how many millions. So we don't know how many yugas. But as you're coming down, you're going from 100% full good qualities to 75% to 50%. 50%, it works. You know what I'm saying? You don't. It's nothing crash hot. It works, you know. But of course, 50% compared to 25% is pretty good. So the difficulty is that then through this time, people can get distracted. People are in the material world for the purpose of being distracted. No one, the jiva, does not leave the spiritual world to come to the material world to be devotional. That's not their purpose, right? They come here because distraction is their primary concern, right? So then one can easily get distracted because in the material world, okay, if you're just living a life of sadhana and associating with other such persons, distraction is less. There will be distraction, but it's less. You know, so by volume, it's easier. You could get into the habit of the mode of goodness, and in that way, your distraction becomes habitual. But, you know, it's not, how you'd say, necessarily very, it's not such a great, trying to say, it's not gone so deep. It's not something that you can't get rid of. You know what I'm saying?
Entrenched.
Yeah, it's not so entrenched. So, but at the same time, without being woken up to the fact, because it's habit, you won't notice it. So it's still, in effect, just as distracting, but technically easier to get rid of, should be. But because one's platform is much more pure and much more elevated. But now, how many people are living that kind of lifestyle? So that means most people are going to be doing a lot more than sadhana. So in their ashram aspect,
they're going to be, besides sadhana, they're going to have to be spending time to take care of the family. Right? And that's a lot of energy, a lot of focus to do it right. If you want to do it right. If you don't want to do it right, then it doesn't take any time. But if you do, that's a lot of time and effort. So one is you're controlling passions to be engaged in activity, but then in the same ways you have to do it in connection with the family. It's the same principle. That's why the family life and sadhana aren't opposed to each other, because you're learning the same qualities. The same qualities that it takes to do good sadhana, you need the same good qualities to be in family life. They're non-different. You can't. There's the amount of austerity, focus, everything is exactly the same. The difference is the benefit. You know what I'm saying? You're going to give up everything, you know, for your sadhana. You're going to have to give up everything for your family if you want it to work. But what do you get from each one of them, right? One you get a small amount, one you get a great amount. But the principles are the same. Therefore, they're both in ashram. Right? It's both counted as ashram. So that already now is a distraction. Then you had on top of that, because family is there, you have to add in varna. Right? Because if you're just doing sadhana, the varna automatically is brahminical. So it's not a matter of gaining money and all that. It's just a matter of your sadhana will take care of you. Right? Because you're living simply. It's easy to get simple. Simple is easy. More than that's difficult. So family means more than that. So now he must get more. So then that means that absorption is there. And the nature of family, just like spiritual, you do something, your realization increases, it expands, your enthusiasm increases and expands. Why? Because it's a feminine energy, right? Devotional energy is feminine. It expands. So material is also, so family life is feminine. So it expands. So that means that to take care of that family, then that means your occupation has to expand, because the family will expand. So as you go, then the family's expanding. The family's expanding. The needs for the family's expanding. So, but your sadhana remains the same. So if anything goes, that starts to be the one that gets compressed, right? Because otherwise, if you compress the family stuff, then there'll be reactions. You won't get any satisfaction out of it, right? So that means then you're going to have to give it the time and the effort that is required. But that's why in the Vedas it's limited. By the age of 50, then you stop doing that. And then you bring it back. Sadhana takes the predominance, right? But in family life, because the basis of the relationship is friendship, right? So that, what do you call it? Companionship is what is remaining. It's the constant. Other aspects will come and go, but that's the constant. So then that becomes the basis of the relationship, is the companionship, and sadhana becomes the primary. Right? So these other aspects aren't there, because those are the things that expand it. Companionship doesn't expand it. It's a maintenance, it's a goodness. The other aspects, you have the passion, that's where it expands. So that part has to be dropped. You understand? So now, in doing that whole process, means it's very obvious that one could easily get distracted. And then if one hasn't put in appropriate time to understand the principles behind it, one therefore can get distracted by just the form. And so then, just as one is so absorbed in the form, in the family life and occupation, one can start to see the sadhana and the devotional development also as form. And therefore, then, actually what's being spoken is lost. Because if that's not what's being spoken, then why is it that after the second chapter, when Arjuna now has heard all about spiritual life, and he has therefore felt he's understood, now his conclusion is, I will go to the forest. Why? Because his understanding is external. It's simply the form. And our Krishna says, don't be foolish, you're going to fight on the battlefield. And Arjuna's thing is, you've explained to me about how, you know, the body is not important, you know, all these family relationships are not important, you know, it's the soul that's important, so why would I be involved in, you know, a fratricidal war that's got to do with, you know, being a Kshatriya and being a family man? Why? know what I'm saying? That's his question. It's contradictory. You've told me spiritual, and then you're saying go back out in material. So Krishna's saying you missed the point. Because spiritual life is expressed through a form, but the form is not the spiritual life. Right? That's the whole point. Now, think about it. You tell me if that point has been understood by yourself and everybody that you know. Or is it all a matter of form? You're doing certain form of sadhana and this and that, then you're a good devotee, and if you're not, then you're not a good devotee. And that's the whole basis of the preaching and social interaction between devotees. So right there is that's how it gets lost. Because if it goes from the principle into simply form, that form is supportive, and as long as the situation is good and people can follow it, it works nice. But as the culture changes, as it degrades, it becomes harder and harder to follow that particular form. Not that you couldn't follow other forms that would get the same result, but because you don't know how to judge, because you don't know the principle on which the form has been, you've decided to use that form because it's got a particular principle. You know what I'm saying? That means I can get 10 by adding 2 5s. I can also add 4 5 2s. I can add 5 1s. I can add, 1 1, and, I can make any combination if I understand the principle of what 10 is and how numbers work. But if I don't understand that, if I've been shown the easiest things, 5 plus 5, then that's it. If I can't add 5 plus 5, I can't do it anymore. Right? And therefore, then people will say, oh, it's a different age, it's a different time, we can't follow all these things now, the Vedic culture doesn't work now. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, we have to be like contemporary modern man and do what he does. Of course, I would love to hear what is this definition of contemporary modern man, because the guy down at the docks with all his tattoos would probably laugh at this particular devotee's explanation of what is modern man. You know what I'm saying? He's got tons of friends that don't look like him. In fact, there's probably more of those guys than there are of the definition of what they're talking about as modern man. Because modern man is a particular phenomena of the middle or upper middle class that is, slightly intellectual, has gone to the university like that, has generally done a BA, not an MSc or in medical or anything else. It's always a BA. Because then you have the ability to think very critically about absolutely useless, impractical things. Right? That class of America then would not be my definition of what America is. But somehow or another, the devotees who think like this, they are very convinced that this is what it is. Because they all have emails and they can all push the send button and contact each other. And so therefore they've created this, very dynamic social, driving force of all 23 of them. And so, like that. And so, they support each other. It works really good. You understand? Now, if that is there and this is going on in our communities, what has been missed here? What has been missed? The actual principles of Krishna consciousness. The subtleties of how the mechanics of Krishna consciousness work. It's a science. That's why Srila Prabhupada called it the science of devotional service. The complete science. Because it's a science. Does that make sense? So, that's the whole idea, is that science then works. It always works. Doesn't matter what's happening. It always works. So, because the science is the mechanics of how the subject works. Therefore, then you can see, according to time, place, and circumstances, what form to manifest it through. Because action means it has to manifest through a form. Right? Does that make sense? So, that's the difficulty, is because the consciousness goes to form because that's what we can see. We can deal with that with the senses. That's the basis. If we can see it, we believe it. And so, inference is not so much used scientifically. We'll use it emotionally. You know, the person didn't look at me when I looked at them, so therefore there's a problem. All it was is that when you looked at them, there was some sound over there, so they turned their head to see what the sound was. But because now you're so insulted, you won't look back to see if now they're looking and all that, because you've come to your full conclusion, and, you know, it's absolute and it's deniable that this is the way it is. So because of that anuman, or that logic that has been used, then, we move forward. But we don't use that logic when it comes actually to the science. We don't try to find out exactly what's there. And if we do, we don't base it on the science of God consciousness. We base it on our own sentiments and emotions, right? Because being conditioned, that's what we do, right? We make mistakes. We cheat, right? We have imperfect senses, right? So this is our occupation. So that would mean naturally it would get lost. So unless regularly there is great personalities coming along and reviving it, then it means it's left up to us, right? So we can use the system very nicely. So it doesn't matter. It's not because we're not great personalities, we can't use it. We can use it and get perfect results. The tendency is that we are inclined to not use it. That's the thing about the system, because every soul is the same. Anybody can use it and get the same result. But we tend to, because we think we're unique, we don't have to use the system, right? Because we're unique, so we don't need to use this standard system. But that's why the consciousness is given in the Gita of how you see the souls, that they're all the same. If all the souls are the same, that means the method is the same to become God conscious. What's different is the conditioned form. That's unlimitedly different. So that's the uniqueness is there. But the souls are the same. Right? Then within their relationship to Krishna, then there's unlimited difference. But in principle, they're all the same. Right? And so in the material world, then in relationship to the energy here, then there's difference. You understand? So difference comes when there's relationship. So now it's a matter of whether you want the relationship with God or with the material energy. Right? But in principle, as far as the science go, they're all the same. So therefore, the same science can work for anybody, anywhere, like that. It's so amazing, it even can work with Americans. Believe it or not. But, you know, don't think I'm exaggerating here. It's actually been proven. It's been proven. Okay? Does that make sense? How it could be lost in a... Okay. So now, because Arjuna, he's giving him this secret because he is a friend. And because of that, only because he's a friend is it possible to understand. So if someone can't understand, that means they're not trying to be a friend of Krishna. Right? Or being too critical of the system, how can you be a friend? Friends aren't so critical of your system. Modern, of course. I was only trying to help, you know. I was, you know, coming in and, you know, completely just destroying all of his ideas about it, all his interactions, his applications, that they're all useless and stupid. But I was just trying to be a friend. Like that. Why doesn't he understand my intent, you know? Like that. So, but here is that it is... One has to accept, so therefore no matter what, one is supportive. So even if you don't understand, you're supportive. That's the difference between Arjuna's critical thinking and the modern. The modern man thinks he has the franchise on critical thinking. But if you look at practically every one of Arjuna's questions, they are serious doubts that what Krishna is saying, you know, is going to work for him. But the point is, he has faith in him as guru that what he's saying is true. But he is taking it from the position, I don't understand how to apply it. It's contradictory to me. He's not saying it's contradictory, therefore it's useless. No, it's contradictory, therefore explain it to me. So, as far as critical questions go, he's asking questions that are more critical than would be politically correct now to ask. But he has faith. He has faith. Right. So this is the
This is the position. So that's important. So a friend means you accept. Like that. So that's the basis. One, he's God, and now you got to go. The next step is not only that, he's actually friendly, right? He's a friendly God, right? You know, like that. You know, you don't have to worry that there's a thunderbolt going to come down and hit you and a little pile of ash will be there, like that. And unless you want that. If that's really what you want, then, you know, it could possibly be arranged. But otherwise, that's not his normal way of dealing like that. The purport of this is that Bhagavad Gita is a treatise which is especially meant for the devotee of the Lord. There are three classes of transcendentalists. So it means Gita and all the Vedas are only meant for devotees. Others can take advantage of them, but they won't actually get what the work is for. The work is so that you go back to Godhead. That's the actual purpose of the work. But Without wanting to go back to Godhead, you can still take advantage of the Vedic literature and get all kinds of nice things out of it. So all your piety, all your all this material advancement that devotees are dying to get their hands on only comes from following the Vedic culture according, you know, to what it says you should do, right? Because it is the medicine. It is on the label. It says to do that. Krishna speaking says to do that. But if you're going to go to that much work, the same amount of work will get you back to Godhead. So why would you want to do that much work and be satisfied, you know, that job well done and stay in the material world? Right? It's the same with family life. The amount, to perfect your sadhana and perfect family life takes the same, ability of being conscious. Same qualities have to be there. Same endeavor has to be there. Same lack of, you know, ignorance and passion has to be there. Otherwise, it won't work. But what will you get at the end? Right? So since the living entity is convinced he will get something or he needs to get something, therefore, then the system's set up so that one can engage in that environment so that one is convinced, one gets what one is looking for, and having gotten it, then he can compare it. And then you can be convinced. Right? That's the point. You go to kirtan, you go to the class, you hear these things. That's nice, right? And you get, you know, have your successes in your family life, and you're happy there. But then with time, when we're not so overwhelmed with the idea that this will make me happy, that's why we're happy, because we say it will make us happy, not that it makes us happy. Right? I say, if I get this, I will be happy. Right? So when I get it, then I say, I'm happy. But how long does that experience last? What is the quality of that experience? So we're so overwhelmed with that I achieved what I wanted, therefore I'm happy, than the actual experience itself. So by doing that again and again, that's why household life also is regulated. So if you want to get certain experiences out of it, you get them in a regulated fashion. So that you are, one, are getting them, and two, you can regularly compare. And then after that, for so long, after a while, you start going, wait a minute. And then you compare that to the spiritual, which is just getting better and better. And the other one is just getting, you know, less and less taste. You know what I'm saying? So then you can see is, okay, nothing's here. Then you're convinced that is the devotional activity. Right? And so then one can move on from that particular attachment. That's the science. That's how it works. So it's not a problem that one is using that method. It's just one should know what one's doing. Otherwise, if one doesn't know what he's doing, he goes to 25, 30 years of complete pain and harassment, doesn't get what he's looking for from it, and not only that, doesn't get the realization that it's useless. It means you can, if it's so much pain, you can throw it out and say, this is useless. And as long as that pain is there, you will be convinced of that. But what happens when the pain goes away? Your devotional service is so nice and all that, then you're in a good mood again. So now you're ready to try again. That's the problem with this Malecha process. Is that if it's not backed up with knowledge, not backed up with sadhana, then it will just go back to whatever it was before. And then after many, many times of that, then of course you start to figure it out. But still, you're never guaranteed that it'll work over one lifetime. You know, then you're talking many, many lifetimes.
Right? So that process is not recommended by Krishna. Better it's done. Okay, that may be the impetus in the beginning. But it still have to be, you have to have that knowledge and have to have that practice so that it starts to, you regulate and you start to actually see. Because otherwise, then, how is it now? What's going on now? Devotees, you know, did that, threw themselves in, gave up everything, committed themselves completely, did that for, you know, 25 years or anything like that. And then when they're in their 40s or 50s, some even 60s, then they go back to doing what they actually wanted to do when they were 20 years old. Right? So that's a bit of a problem. Why? Because they didn't follow the science right. When they're supposed to be dealing with the attachments of family life, they're trying to be so renounced. And now where they're supposed to be renounced, now they're trying to deal with family life. But the worst part is it's not that they're thinking, okay, I didn't understand the science, so therefore I still have this attachment. Let me go through this properly according to the science, and therefore let's get rid of it before, you know, life ends here. Better late than never. Like that. But no, it's that, oh, I did all that, that didn't work. So that actually, the Vedic stuff doesn't work. This is the reality. Now what does that set you up for? Another birth. And another one. And another. It just, that's what you're setting yourself up for. So even they're doing it. Right? It's not recommended. Okay, you're 50, you're getting married. Okay, not recommended. But if you're going to do it, use the science. Get rid of it. And at 50, it's not going to take you 25 years to figure it out. You know, you're not young and fired up and ready to go out there and buy 5 million saris and 20 million bangles and this and that. You know, it's going to get old real fast. Like that. Just like you. You're already 50. You're already old. Old officially starts at 50. Like that. Youth is 16 to 30. Middle age is 30 to 50. And 50... plus, that's old, like that. Right? Is that? There are three classes of transcendentalists, namely, the jnani, the yogi, and the bhakta, or the impersonalist, or the impersonalist, the meditator, and the devotee. Here the Lord clearly tells Arjuna that he is making him the first receiver of a new parampara, the civic succession, because the old succession was broken. It was the Lord's wish, therefore, to establish another parampara in the same line of thought that was coming down from the Sun God to others. And it was his wish that his teachings be distributed anew by Arjuna. He wanted Arjuna to become the authority in understanding the Bhagavad Gita. So we see that Bhagavad Gita is instructed to Arjuna, especially because Arjuna was a devotee of the Lord, a direct student of Krishna, and his intimate friend. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is understood by a person who has similar qualities, like Krishna. Oh no, it means instead of qualities similar to Arjuna, so it just says qualities similar to Krishna. Yeah. Okay, this is an important point. This is where we get here. Here it says qualities similar to Arjuna's, which would be normal. But here it says similar qualities like Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is understood by a person who has similar qualities like Krishna. So then we'd be worried about the impersonal or the Mayavadi aspect here. But it's actually, how do you have a relationship with Krishna unless you have similar qualities? Right? Because friendship is based on common qualities, common ground. So, therefore, Krishna's qualities, we see the 64 qualities. He's respectful to authority. He follows the Vedic literatures. He does all these different. So someone who's willing to accept that authority and do those things, he, therefore, is able to understand this science. Because we're actually trying to, by this science, we're trying to end up as someone who is, you know, spending their day with God. You know, talking with him, walking with him, doing all the different things like that. But this time with some clothes on, avoiding apple trees and not getting kicked out. You know what I'm saying? So this is the point. Right? So it's, therefore, it's similar qualities like Krishna. Like that? Does that make sense? Yes.
Either way, you can look at it. Or you can take it similar qualities like Arjuna, because Arjuna is a devotee. So it's only someone who is trying to be a devotee like Arjuna, then they can understand. Either way, because the point is, the devotee has the qualities like Krishna, Krishna has the qualities like devotees. It's the common qualities, the God's qualities, so both he and the devotee have them. Like that. That is to say, he must be a devotee in a direct relationship with the Lord. As soon as one becomes a devotee of the Lord, he also has a direct relationship with the Lord. That is a very elaborate subject matter. But briefly, it can be stated that a devotee is in a relationship with the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, in one of five different ways. So he's saying that's very elaborate. It says, as soon as it becomes a devotee, he has a direct relationship with the Lord. But one has to understand is there's a direct relationship, but that relationship is enacted or appreciated through others in the relationship. In other words, if you're working on the principle that the parampara is a transparent via medium, then that means technically there's no difference between any stage in it. Right? So that would mean is that those who are directly contacting Krishna and yourself who is contacting through them, there's no difference. So in effect, it's a direct relationship. But in actuality, it's carried out through other devotees. Right? Because there's only five relationships. So those five, so those men. One may be a devotee in a passive state. Two, one may be a devotee in an active state. Three, one may be a devotee as a friend. Four, one may be a devotee as a parent. And five, one may be a devotee as a conjugal lover. So these five states are there. Then in that, there's a person who embodies that rasa. That means it's full, it's complete. There is no shortage. There is nothing left undone in that relationship. So everybody else is expanding from that. There's different, you know, aspects or combinations of aspects of that. So it's still direct because any of those contact Krishna in that rasa. But you're able to affect that through that one devotee. Does that make sense? So, yes.
Is it true that even the Moodies, like Mother Yashoda said, she's the embodiment of parental? But is it true that in the pastime, still you may directly be helping?
You may directly personally do it. It's just like you go on the altar now and you dress the deities, right? So are you directly putting clothes on the deities? Yes. But is your relationship with Krishna direct? In that the reason you're putting those clothes on is because of, you know, you're such buddy-buddy with Krishna. No, it's because of the connection with the spiritual master and the parampara.
So when Prabhupada says you can dance with Krishna.
Yeah, it means you can directly dance with Krishna. But you always have to understand is that relationship is there through that parampara. So that's the point. It's simultaneously direct, but at the same time not. So the mood is that it's not, though it is. Directly you're contacting and interacting, but the mood is that you're doing this on behalf of others. You know, in other words, you're dancing with Krishna, so the one who can really dance with Krishna is Radharani. You know, or if there's cowherd boys, then, you know, those Sridham, Sudham, Subal, they know how to dance with Krishna. So your dancing then is in pursuance of their dancing. So, but you may be doing it directly with Krishna, but it's in pursuance of how they would dance with Krishna. Therefore, Krishna's pleased, because if it's just your dancing, what's the big deal? You know what I'm saying? Like that. It means you have this nice sandwich with all things on it, like that. And then you just have a piece of unbuttered bread, you know. So now, if Krishna is offered one or the other, which is the natural one would take? Right? So the point is, but if that piece of bread is in pursuance of that sandwich, then it becomes part of that sandwich. So therefore, it's accepted by Krishna. But if it wants to stand on its own, who's interested in a dry piece of bread with no butter on it? You understand? That's the point. That's why the subtleties, if they're not understood, Krishna consciousness won't be deeply appreciated. Because you have to be able to accommodate two things happening at once, right? That's the thing. With Krishna, many things happen at once. But for us, our dealing, we only have to worry about two things happening at once.
right? Because he's dealing with us, he's dealing with everybody else. So each one is dealing with two things. But he's dealing with everybody at once. So he can do many things at once. That's one of his qualities. Like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's why these subtleties are so important, but many will not appreciate that. It won't be considered important, but it's actually very important. Otherwise, much of Krishna consciousness is lost. Like that. Arjuna was in a relationship with the Lord as friend. Of course, there's a gulf of difference between this friendship and the friendship found in this material world. This is transcendental friendship, which cannot be had by everyone. Of course, everyone has a particular relationship with the Lord, and that relationship is evoked by the perfection of devotional service. But in the present status of our life, not only have we forgotten the Supreme Lord, but we have forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord. Every living being, out of the many, many billions and trillions of living beings, has a particular relationship with the Lord eternally. That is called Swarup. By the process of devotional service, one can revive that Swarup, and that stage is called Swarup Siddhi, perfection of one's constitutional position. So Arjuna was a devotee, and he was in touch with the Supreme Lord in friendship. Remember that this is basically the second page of third page of his discussing, introducing Krishna consciousness. And now, let somebody stand up and say, Prabhupada only gave the basics. He's already, in the third page, already talked about the five relationships, your relationship with him and your Swarup. I go ahead, I dare anyone to stand up and say that, you know, Prabhupada didn't deal with the higher forms. Point is that until you're liberated, you can't use that Swarup anyway. So if someone is liberated and then they want to come forward and say that, then great. But the point is someone who's liberated wouldn't understand it because they don't understand the mind of the Acharya. So only someone who doesn't understand the mind of Acharya would make such statements. Right here, immediately, third page. Right? How many times when you're preaching, you're already on Swarup and Leelas and Rasa, you know, at the Sunday feast, and the first time you met somebody. No, Prabhupada's doing it. And so pleasantly and nicely. Right? And if we took out all the examples on that to establish the thing, you know, this would have happened in the first half page. But because he's making a point and has to give elaborate examples, then this is what's coming next. So we always have to, have that faith. That's the whole point, is that in the same way as the spirit should be approached, the Gita should be approached, the spirit in which we approach the Gita, accepting Krishna as the Supreme Lord, and so what he's speaking is valid, we also have to accept that what Srila Prabhupada is speaking is also valid. He is a devotee who comes in the parampara. He is speaking according to parampara. So what he says is valid. And by following that, you will get what Krishna is talking about. You know what I'm saying? It's not because you talk about Swarup all day, you get one. You know what I'm saying? It's like this. Who talks about boys all day? The girls that don't have one or the girls that have one? Both. Let's say they're married to the guy. That's having one. Right? In other words, the married ladies talk less about the boys. They talk more about the interaction and duties and all that. The ones that don't have them yet, they haven't nailed it down like that, or they're just come into the new in the field, they talk all day. So does this make any sense? Why we see Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they don't talk on these things all day? Because they're already there. So who talks all day? The ones that aren't there. Now the choice is yours. You want to follow the instructions of someone who's not there, claiming that they're going to give you something more than someone who is there? That's your choice. Like that. Okay? Just being frank, yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Chainatai Gaura Premanandi.
Don't get me wrong. Those who want to go to different personalities, what they're teaching is in proper lines. One can go back to Godhead. That's not the point. I'm speaking on the point saying that their system is better than Prabhupada's. That I won't brook. But if you ask me, you know, are they bogus? Are they not going back? No, they're bona fide. They're going back to Godhead. Like that. But the point is they can't claim that they have the franchise, especially since all of their preaching all over the world is happening using Prabhupada's formulas and Prabhupada's people.
But by offending.
That's another thing. We don't want to get into that now. I'm just making it clear that we have no problem with them. In fact, generally here we have no problem because we've grown up with them for the last 30 years, so they're not some novelty.